very important to watch how you're thinking. Now, again, just to reiterate, do you have to think about this life? Of course you do. I mean, you kidding me? I promise you, if you sit over here in this chair and just wait for life to work itself out and you don't do anything about it, you're going to be quite surprised. Or maybe not, because it's not going to work itself out, right? I heard Ernest's daughter talk about all her plans going in the Air Force. That's the kind of things you got to do. You got to plan it out. You got to work it out. You got to invest yourself. You got to go through all the processes that are required by this life. That's just the way this life works, right? You have certain responsibilities. You have certain things you got to do. Here's the biggest catch to all of that. What does any of that have to do with God and eternity? Except one thing. Just one thing. You got to put yourself in a position to hear the word of the Lord. That's it. So when I tell you this morning, Ernest, you got to be willing to put yourself in a place where the word of God can be sown to you, right? Is that your requirement? Is that the thing that you can do? So does God care if you go left or right in this realm? Is he going to send someone to tell you what kind of car to buy? He might send someone to tell you to get rid of one. And don't be living in fantasies, right, Jacob? But if you need a big old minivan or SUV or whatever, because you got a big family, you know, then that's what you got to do. But if you're just by yourself, you may not need that big old SUV, right? Just messing with Jacob. But everything in this life has meaning. And it's funny because some people have said to me, it's like, man, this life is a drudgery and it's so hard. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Once you come to the things of God, you see all the wonderful things in this life. And you don't begrudge this life or this world. And so yesterday in one of the conversations that we had, and I'm sure this applies to everybody, there were some things that were preeminent in the thought. And it was, just to be honest, concerning this life. Just things that, you can't move past sometimes. And so once we got into talking about some of those things, I was like, look, sometimes you just got to deal with things in this life and then move on in God. You got to do what you got to do, because the ultimate goal here in this life is what? It's to find God. It's to find the life of God. And so when I ask you this morning, Ernest, and Jacob, that's who were out there when we started the conversation, do you guys know what this is going to cost you? Do you guys really know? Because you say you do, but do you really know what the life of God is going to cost you? What do you guys think? Don't you two answer. And if it, Gail, huh? That's copyrighted, by the way. Don't worry, I borrowed it from Tim McGraw, so don't even worry about it. Yeah. So let me show you guys something. Let's deal with the mind for a moment. Okay? We're going to put a mind, and you could say thought in each one of these, because we taught on this the other night. The mind of God, the thought of God in the beginning was the Word. So those were the thoughts of God. And Isaiah said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. talking about God's thoughts are higher, okay? So this mind would be what? This would be the heavenly mind or the mind of Christ, right? So this is in God. This is in God's world, God's realm, God's thought, God's being, God's spirit, okay? But then you have a mind here, which would be what? It'd be an earthly mind. And yeah, you could definitely call it the terrestrial mind, the earthly mind. So this would be the mind of what? We call this the Spirit of God. Let's say this, the Spirit of God. Now we have the Spirit of, John said it, Spirit of man. There's a scripture someone find for me. I want to say it's in Ecclesiastes 3. But I could be wrong on that. But it talks about the spirit of man goeth downward into the earth. It's the spirit of the beast. See if someone can find that for me. This is the spirit of man. This is what we call which mind? Which mind is this? This is the carnal mind. Now, I'm going to just tell you, very, very important to understand. I got to correct my R here. Carnal. It's carnal mind. This is the carnal mind. But there's one mind left we want to talk about real quick, just to identify it. What is it? The physical. The physical mind. And I'm going to put you. We'll use Jacob. This is Jacob, okay? Do I need to put a little stick man so you guys, doesn't that look a lot like Jacob? So this is the physical mind, right? What is this mind dealing with? Getting hung up on my buttons. What does this mind deal with, Jacob?
Everything here.
Right. Everything in this life, right? So let me ask you, let me give you an example. Fear. What is the difference between fear in this world, and in this world? What's the difference? Right? So then let me ask a question. If you're jumping out of a good, are they going to make you jump out of airplanes? You don't know? You're like, I hope not, right? I know I would say I hope not. That's why I'd never join the Air Force. I'd be like, heck no, I ain't jumping out of no airplane, right? Fear of heights? What's that got to do with God? Or is that just a fear of this flesh and this life? Is that what this is? So if we walk around going, God, please deliver me from a fear of heights, is that a prayer God's going to hear? No. What did they tell you in this life that you got to do to overcome stuff like that? Get out there and do it. Guess what? I'll probably die in this life with a fear of heights. Because I ain't about to go up and try to prove that theory and see if I can overcome being afraid of heights. Right? Does that make me weak in God? No, because it has nothing to do with God, bro. It has to do with this physical body. Does that make sense? That's just in my mind. I don't like going up some of the hills yesterday, looking down the side. You know, when that ranger starts to tilt a little bit, you got to keep you cool, man, and just walk the, what'd you say, walk them rocks, walk the dog, okay. So there's certain things in this life you have to overcome just by the doing of it, or just to be honest with you, collecting your thoughts. Remember the example I used about being concerned about my granddaughter? Interesting, huh? You take a thought, a simple little thought of a concern in this life, and you give yourself to it. You meditate on things like that too long, right, Terry? You take a thought concerning this life. That whole situation had nothing to do with God's realm, didn't even have anything to do with the terrestrial realm. It only had to do with this physical life. You say, what are you talking about? You don't need to know. Ain't none of your business. Just a situation that Terry was dealing with that I pointed out very simply had nothing to do with anything but this life. Now let me ask you a question. Do you want anything in this life to keep you from coming into these things of God? So what is the answer in this life? You got to put yourself in a position to hear. And then you got to trust God, because I need you to understand, but I also have to trust God to make that happen, because I could preach to you all day long to the physical ear and you could hear everything I say. You could hear everything Rick says, PK says, Keith says, Dan says, Brian says. Is that going to get you to heaven? Why? Because it was the physical ear that heard it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which hearing? It's the spiritual ear that has to hear. Does that make sense? So it's not the physical ear, but here's the catch. You still gotta speak to the avatar. The avatar in this physical body. This physical body still has to be here in my presence to hear my word. Unless you've gotten spiritual enough to go into the Holy Ghost and hear my angel. Now, who in here has got spiritual enough to go hear my angel? Have you seen my angel? Because I got one. You say, prove it to me. No. No. Get spiritual and go see it. Simple, huh? You got to get into the Holy Ghost. Have I seen it? Oh, yeah. Have I seen Rick's? Have I seen Dan's? Have I seen Brian's? Yep. I have. Glorious thing. But as I've told you guys all week, I spent about that 2-year period where I physically sat before another man of God who shared his witness with me. And at first I brought what? I brought my weakness. And you know what most of the weakness was? It was about this life. It was about this life. And to be honest with you, that wasn't even weakness. I had not even come to this place yet. I had not even come to being able to look inward and talk about the terrestrial or the earthly or the carnal mind, if you will, the man of sin. Because at that time, I still thought this guy, the physical, was the man of sin. And I looked at all my mistakes and all my failures in this life, and I thought that's what God had to forgive me of. I was wrong. God didn't have to forgive me of this physical life. You know why? Do you guys even know why? Because this is temporal. And God doesn't deal in temporal. He deals in eternal. Eternal. Let that sink in. He deals with eternal. The thing which is eternal. There's a scripture that talks about that which is temporal and that which is eternal. Even this realm right here, guys, is temporal. In the Son of God that comes into a regeneration. And once the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached and all things have been overcome and all things have been regenerated, what happens to this right here? It gets burned up. It is no more. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Does that make sense? So it ceases to exist, but would it still exist in another?
Sure.
So then it's an eternal realm. In other words, it'll be around for a very long time. But maybe in one Son of God that has seen a redemption and a regeneration of all things, it has ceased to exist, if you will. But in another, he could just be coming into this. Does that make sense? Or in a Son of God, you could see a redemption in him, but in the children that has been brought forth by that Son, they've yet to come into this, to even know the man of sin, to know Satan. If faith does not exist in all men, neither does the devil. Did you hear me? If all men do not have faith, then maybe what you thought you've been dealing with isn't the devil at all. Could just be a choice you made in this life that you got yourself into a predicament and you have to get yourself out of it. But you know what? It may not be the way you think. You know how I got myself out of my physical predicaments? How I stopped perpetually cycling in the curse of the generational family curses that God showed me was working in my own family, in my own bloodline. Claudette and I talked about this yesterday. There are certain things. Have you ever looked at your family and said, my God, man, I see very predominant things that work in my family and in a lot of them. Like, say, strife, for example. You see a lot of strife. Everything's about strife. Man, in my family, everything was about strife. You couldn't even have a family get together before brothers were falling over tables and chairs and furniture, fighting, fist fighting. To the point when I got older, I told my mom, I'm not going, man. I have no interest in going. Because knowing me, you know, with the way I strived, I would probably wouldn't have physically got involved per se in the fist fight part, but I'd have been right in there arguing with the best of them. Because that was what was in my spirit. That was what was in me. It was in my flesh. And boy, I'd want to strive and fight and all kinds of things. Those are things that get passed down. And the more you give yourselves to them, spirits attach themselves to you and they work these things in you unbeknownst to you. And you can't discern them. You so identify with them. You just think that it's who you are. And people come to know that about you, don't they, PK? They come to expect it. Oh, Gary's here. Well, you know what that means. We're about to have a fight. You know, and you know, the funny thing about it is when you get into those situations of strife, for me, it was all about the Word of God. I wanted to strive with the Word of God. I wanted to strive with you about the Word of God. If you didn't agree with me, I was going to strive with you. And I would justify it and call it God in me wanting to strive with you. No, man, God does not work that way. He does not work that way. God is a God of love and peace and gentleness and kindness and compassion. The only time you're going to see the wrath of God is if you're the wicked. And that's a one-way conversation. That ain't a two-way conversation. That's God saying, I'm God, you're the wicked. And here you go, I'm going to put you in this parable until you get your senses, till you come to yourself and realize you need God. You need help. So God will let you stay in that thing as long as you want to be in it. But it ain't going to be good. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to be good. Even in this life, you can make some decisions that put yourself in a situation that's not good. And people end up in parables that they cannot escape. And people come to me all the time and say, well, what about these curses? I want to be free. Do you? Do you really? Because I used to say that too, and I couldn't escape. You know why I couldn't escape? I didn't want to. I didn't want to. Because like Terry said, I loved it. I loved it, man. I loved to strive. I loved it. I thought that was the will of God, man. If someone in this life hurts you, what do you do? Well, I want to tell them off. I want to slap some sense into them. I beat Jesus into them. That don't work, guys. I'm telling you, that don't work. What the funny part of all that is you've already been through the hurt and the pain of it, and now the whole situation's done and gone and over with. I see families go years not talking to each other, and all you've done is continue to live in the hurt that is past. And so you've killed your future by living in this pain. And it stops you from coming to God because you're full of bitterness and unforgiveness and you can't let something go. And if you would just let it go, you could move on in God and God bless you. Is that too hard? You guys like, oh my God. I mean, it just is what it is. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not telling you anything I haven't had to deal with, man. I'm telling you right now, I've had to deal with this stuff. Years ago, man, I had to deal with this stuff. People doing things and saying things and hurting you and just, oh man, just. But then you know what happened? When I finally got honest and I started looking inward, I started looking in at myself and God started talking to me about my own sin, I realized I couldn't point a finger to anybody because I had done all of that and more. And I was like, my God, help me. I can't be mad at anybody. I am the sinner. I'm the sinner. And God let me know, you know what you got to do? You got to let this life right here, you got to let it go. You can't worry about closure. You ever had anybody, man, I just need to have closure. Closure? No, you ain't trying to get closure. You trying to open doors. You don't know it, but you're opening doors to spirits that are going to, you're going to give access to your temple, to your house. And they're going to live in your house and they're going to whisper to you. They're going to talk to you. And you know what? They're going to work their will and their intent in you. They're going to defile you. In Revelation 4, was there a door open in heaven? Did God open that door? Is that the door we want to see open? Is that the door God needs to open for us? So that we can get caught up in the Spirit, in the right Spirit, because God's Spirit is one of right intent. It's one of love and peace and joy. He will show us the kingdom. Because I got news for you. We say we know God in this physical. We do not know God of this flesh because He is not of this flesh. He has a different flesh, a different body, a different mind, a different way of thinking. He doesn't think like we do. He's not worried about which car to drive. You kidding me? He ain't worried about that stuff. He don't care which car you drive. You want to drive the little white spaceship with red interior? Knock yourself out. Have fun with it. The little Camry? Awesome car, man. God don't care. Go have fun. You want to ride a bike to work? Knock yourself out. He just doesn't care about that stuff. But then again, don't get above your means. I mean, if you just want to be honest, if you want a little bit of physical counsel, live within your means. If you can't go drive a $100,000 car, better not go get one. Get what you can afford and live within your means. And put yourself in a place, let's put it like this. If you're in so much debt you can't see straight and your stress is nonstop about your debt, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to think about God. You're not going to think about God at all. But man, I'm out there on that Ranger yesterday and guess what I'm thinking about? God. Oh, yeah, we had some good laughs and everything else and all this, but I mean in between all of that, I'm just thinking about God, how awesome God is. So we good on this? We good on this? Because we got to get past this and we got to get into this. We got to go inward before we can really start to know the story of God. So if you got something in this physical life that is vexing you and tormenting you and distracting you, let it go, man. Let it go and turn inward. Because when I stop trying to fix myself here and I let God take me inward, guess what happened? All of this came into line. All of this came right into line. And do I still have to do a few things to keep it in line? Sure, man. You got to pay your bills. You got to pay your light bill or they turn the lights off. Nobody wants to live in the dark. You want to have lights and food and groceries and all that stuff? Ain't no one going to do it for you, I tell you that. Ain't nobody going to do it for you. You got to work in this life. If you don't work, you don't eat. Right? I see these people like, just give me some food. I used to do that. Okay, you know, give me some money for food. Here's some money. And they go buy something other than food. So I said, you know what? Okay, let me try it this way. I brought them some food. Guess what happened to the food? They didn't eat it. So I learned some lessons. That's just goofy stuff in this life. So then what happens, man? Because back to this fear for a second. When you deal with this sphere, you're dealing with some physical-minded things. When you go to this sphere in the trust realm, what are you dealing with? Spirit of fear. Let's talk about that. What is the spirit of fear? What are the attributes of it? What does it cause to work in your thought, in your spirit? Hide from God, so you start acting like Adam did? What else will it do? What does the Bible say? Even use the scripture. What does the Bible say the spirit of fear does? It hath torment. Is that God's fear? Because when you go into the heavens, what is God's fear? What are the attributes of the fear of the Lord? Wisdom, understanding, reverence, the love of God, the power of God. I'm going to tell you something. When you fear God, you love God. You keep His commandments. When you have the fear of the Lord, guess who you're not afraid of? The wicked, the devil, the spirit of man. You know how afraid of men I was when I was a young preacher? Man, I was afraid of men. Part of that worked here because I was afraid of their demeanors and their countenance. But part of that worked in here because what I was seeing was the fear of man, the man of sin. I actually had thoughts in me that the power of the man of sin or of Satan himself was greater than that of God. That's amazing. You guys remember Brian's dream? I don't tell a lot of other people's dreams, but just to reference it about the snake, he was in the darkness and felt the wind blowing on him, and it was this huge snake. But then when he came up and he became that huge angel, what was that snake? Just that little tiny thing, and he put his foot on it. It was nothing to God. So when you're in the fear of the Lord, are those enemies that you make so great right now, are they anything in God? No, in fact, God doesn't even have enemies. Think about that. Imagine being God, full of light, in whom is no darkness, Ernest. No enemies. Imagine that. Some of us can't even imagine that because all we can think about is, there's so many enemies. Everywhere there's enemies. And again, some of what we're calling enemies is right here. Do you know that some of you guys are calling things that are in this physical realm the devil? I've heard it this week. You're calling things that are in this life the man of sin. That's not true. Ernest is not the man of sin. No more than he is the man of God. He's not an apostle. Does that make sense? But what's in him? What is in the making? What is God forming? What's God creating in him? The man of God. What's he learning to be? The man of God. But what's he going to have to overcome? The man of sin. So is Ernest himself going to have to get past himself to get to the real problem? You're going to have to get past Ernest to get to the real issue, which is within you, the man of sin, the carnal mind. So what Ernest does in this life, sure, there could be some things in this life that he does that are distractions. He'll figure that out. God'll help him. I'm sure not going to walk around saying, Ernest, do this. Ernest, don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. I'm not going to do that. He's going to have to figure some of that out. But I've already given him instruction. Dan's given him instruction. PK, all of us, we've all given. What's the instruction we have given you? There you go. Stay close, man. Get in this thing. Get in with these elders. And talk with these elders, because I'm going to be bold right now. I've been where you have not been. I have obtained what you have not yet attained. I have paid prices, Jacob, that you have not paid yet. Does that make sense? How's that make sense? Okay, okay, I'll take that. That's good. Watch your thought and be don't be so quick to answer, because you might get called upon and said, come on, talk to me. Tell me what that means. What do you mean by that? Because we're so quick. Oh, yeah, man, I got it. I get it. I understand. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Oh, really? Tell me what I'm saying. Rick used to do that to me, and I'd be, okay, maybe I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. You say, why do they do that? Why do they do it? Why do you put me on the spot? Because you need to be put on the spot. Man, it's getting hot in here. Does that make sense? Dude, if you're going to hang with the big boys, you're going to hang by being proven, by being reproved, by seeing if you can receive instruction. And yes, I'm even talking about to this physical realm. I'm going to see if you can hang. I'm going to see if you can go out with me, if you're going to want to sit with me, if you're going to want to talk with me. I'm going to see where your priorities are. When I see people saying, man, I want to live for God, I want to live for God, but they ain't never around. You're never around. You don't want to go out and talk. You don't want to go out and spend some time. Come on, man, I'm telling you, in a parable, you don't know it. Because ask me how I got this. I sat at the feet, man. I sat at the feet of even a physical man. I sat at their feet. And I listened. And I learned. And I stayed close. And I submitted myself. When that word of God said to me, submit yourself to this anointing, that was not in the physical realm that I saw that. It was not in the terrestrial realm I saw that. I saw that among the stars of heaven. That was my angel prophesying that to me. Submit yourself. He was telling me what to do. Submit to what? To a physical man? That's not how God said it to me. He said, submit to the anointing, PK. And there were thoughts in my mind that said, well, let's see, which man of God does that mean? And I'm going to tell you, God even defined that for me. And I even come to know which man of God, even in this physical realm, to submit myself to. Come on now. I'm telling you. You say, I don't know about all that. Okay. Stay where you at. Stay where you at. And cycle. Stay in your parable and cycle. Because I told you. Adam, first night here, man, first night. What did I write on the board? That's what got him in trouble right there. When God said, eat of the trees, Kiko, he said, eat of the trees. Who are those trees? Those sons of God, those angels of the Lord. And I had to humble myself, and I had to realize, man, I don't have what I thought I had. And I had to sit and listen to someone more spiritual than myself. And that man of God endured my times of weakness. He endured all the physical weakness. And then when God turned me inward, he endured the terrestrial weakness. He endured the weakness of the carnal mind. He endured all of that. And we will too. When I go out and I sit with Jacob, guess what I'm going to endure? Guess what I did endure? At first, it was just all physical. That's all you brought to me, dude. Just one physical thing after another. And I'm like, Jacob, let's talk about God. Here. And you know what I ended up having to do? I had to talk to him about some physical things. Just to help him get through that so we could get to the next level. And that's fine. If that's what we got to do, that's what we're not going to do it for 10 years. If we got to deal with this for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, I mean, look, we'll keep you around. We ain't going to run you off. But you ain't never coming into this. And that's your choice. Y'all hearing me? That's not me saying you can't come in. That's me saying you need to make your choices. But at the same time, Remember that dream of the angel with the stance and the sword? You ain't getting in, man, unless that angel lets you pass. We're talking heavenly, eternal things here. So sometimes you just got to deal what you got to deal with. You got to get some things, and maybe you need a little bit of advice. That's fine. We will give you advice if that's what you really, really need. We're not trying to be counselors of this physical realm. If you need a real professional, go spend $95 an hour and get some help. I'm not trying to be mean. But if your heart is heading in the right direction, you need a little bit of advice, that's fine. We'll talk to you. Absolutely. We're going to be the gift of God to you. We're going to talk to you. We'll have some compassion, some mercy. We don't mind. We're going to talk to you. But you know what our intent is? Get you to the next place. Get you, Terry, get you here, man. We need you. We need God in you to start identifying this, your real enemy, the carnal mind. Get you past this thing right here and get you into this realm so God can show you who the real enemy is. That which is first is natural, then that which is spiritual. Did you guys find that scripture earlier? Did you find it? You thought I forgot about that, didn't you? That's the one. The spirit of the beast, the spirit of man. Ecclesiastes talks a lot about the sons of men and what God set in their heart. He set the world in their heart that no man would find out what God did from the beginning to the end. Have you guys ever thought about what the true definition of a man is? Because I know what we call a man. When we start out, we call a man here. Jacob is he's a man, right? But he wasn't always a man. He had to become a man, even in this life. Does that make sense? He had to become a man. When you're a child or a boy, you can't do certain things. You can't make certain decisions. You can't buy your own house and, you know, by the time you're 14, 15, you think you can, and maybe you can. I know some guys that were out by the time they were 15, out, living on their own. I couldn't wait to get out. I was out and I was gone. Never looked back. And that was just, you know, going to be a man, you got to get out. Can't live with mom and daddy for, you know, be 40 years old. That movie we watched last night, still living with mama. 40-something years old, living with mama. Can't do that, man. It's not in my, that's just not in me. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Mama telling me what to do. Honey, you want me to make you some biscuits and gravy? No, mama, I'm okay. Go make your own biscuits. Anyway, so you got to be a man. But here's the catch. What is the true definition of a man? You ever thought, what is a man? Well, Jesus said, heaven is like unto a man. Didn't I tell you first night here? Genesis 1, was that the creation of a man? What man? The man Christ Jesus? Is that the beginning of the creation of God? Is that the beginning of the creation of all the entire heaven and earth of God? Where all those saints come from? So, we talked about Jesus being the highest angel of all, right? Is that a man? Is an angel a man? Are you a man? You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not a man. I'm a woman. Good day. Gotcha. Then you're stuck. Then this ain't to you, Claudette, if you think that way, because you're a female in this life. But see, that's what religion taught you, that because you're a female in this life, this has nothing to do with you. You can't be the son of God, Gail. You can't be the son of God, Claudette. Evie, all you guys, you can't be the Son of God. But that's not true, is it? Why? Because God's definition of what a man is totally different than ours. And we're talking about the Son of God. That's the man of God. Remember when I wrote Michael's name up here? You know what his name means? You know what Gabriel's name means? Gabriel is a man of God. Michael, a man who is like God. These are men of God. And Daniel prophesied when Michael, the prince of God, stands up, that those that are asleep in the dust of the earth are going to come forth. So is that what God's looking for? He's looking for that man of God in you to stand up. He's looking for that Son of God in you to stand up. So when we talk about the spirit of a man, let's talk first about the true definition of the spirit of a man. A true man of God is that angel. The true man of God is Christ himself. But then you've got this man, the spirit of man, the sons of men that lived in this earth and were wicked. They were wicked, perverse and profane. Go read Genesis 6. They profaned the name of the Lord. It actually says they called upon the name of the Lord, but if you search it out, they profaned God's name and they made it something other than what it actually was or what it is. So when you get the spirit of a man working in you that thinks he knows God but doesn't, what do you got? You got a problem. You got a perversion. You have a corrupted man. A man that is driven by his own thoughts, by his own reasonings. He's driven full of the carnal mind. Then you got the beast man, which we know is a man in honor without what? Without understanding. He's a beast. Have you ever seen a beast in a dream? I have. I took the word of God one time and boom, put it into this guy's chest, and right in front of me, he turned into a beast. I mean a grotesque beast, and he wanted to kill me. He wanted to murder me. He come at me to kill me. The word of God exposed him for what he truly was. And you know, just a few short months after that, he did exactly that. He tried to destroy me. I went into a vision, and I saw this beast man. I was pastoring down in Alabama, and I was on a three-day fast, believe it or not, back when we used to do that kind of stuff. And I saw this beast man walk up and grab this building, this thing that looked like a church, and he took that church, and he lifted up to God. He blasphemed God, and he threw that church down, and he put his feet in, and he destroyed that church. And then he lifted his fist to God and railed against God. I was like, my God, man, what is that? I didn't know that was me. I didn't know at all at that time that was me. That man of sin in me was railing against God. You know why I was railing? Because nothing was working out the way I thought it should. Nothing. I was mad, I was angry against God because nothing in this physical life was working out the way. I thought that we should be seeing the book of Acts in this physical life, and it wasn't happening, PK, and I was ticked off about it. I was a young gift operator that had a lot of ambition, had a lot of dreams. I had dreams, so many dreams, and I was chasing every one of those dreams, trying to make those things happen. And when it did not happen the way that I thought, I lost my first church. I lost my first church because that young man in me was a railer, was a striver, full of lust and contention. And instead of being kind and courteous and compassionate, I'd get up there and just rail from the pulpit. And man, they jerk my collar. They jerk my collar, dude. They come after me. I'm telling you, the whole group come after me. And then I had a dream, PK, man, I could tell you guys some dreams, man, I'm telling you. I had a dream that I walked through that church, man, and I took oil, oil was dripping from my hand, and I wrote Ichabod over the porter of that church. And do you know, I thought that was God. I thought, see there, I'm the man of God, and I just wrote Ichabod. That means the Spirit of God, the glory of God has departed from this place. And I got up the next day and prophesied that. People jumping up, leaving the building, scared the bejesus out of people. Now you ask me, you tell me, was that God? No, you know what that was? That was the spirit of man who thought he was like God. Am I making this plain to you guys? See, you guys don't know some of that stuff about me. PK knows a little bit about me. He had firsthand experience with some of that. But even by then, I had come to even kind of laxed a little bit, kind of got a little cooler. But still, spiritual deception working there, man, making me think I was the anointed of the Lord. Listen, the spirit of man is a beast. He's a beast. And you think when you're in that spirit that you are the anointed of God. And you ain't no more anointed. You couldn't preach your way out of a wet paper bag. You couldn't overcome a devil to save your own soul. But you think you're the mightiest one in the land. And the only thing coming out of your mouth is curses, 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 not blessing, curses. My God, I'm so happy to be free. I'm so thankful for the mind of God. Is this too much scaring anybody yet? So now you just realize, okay, you know what? I don't want to jump out of an airplane. Who cares? Big deal. And guess what? You could stand there, make fun of me, mock me, laugh at me. You could intimidate. You could try to intimidate me, say, ah, you chicken baby. You ain't jumping out. It'd mean nothing to me, man. I don't care. I ain't nothing to prove to you. I ain't going to strive with you. I ain't going to, we're done, man. I'm done. Learn my lesson. Got my T-shirt. I'm good. I know there's guys in this life that can do stuff I can't do. Good for you, man, but do you have God? Because when you go the way of the dodo, what happens then? What happens when you're lying on your deathbed and you don't know God? You know what happens? Oh, lots of regret, lots of fear. Man, where am I going? What is happening to me? What is the next step? I'm about to close my eyes for the last time in this life, and I need God right now. You should have thought about that, little brother, while you were still living and had choice. Good God, you guys may not want to put this out, man. This stuff'll light you up. Now look, y'all know I love you, right? Oh boy, we're gonna go eat, laugh a little bit, we'll get comfortable. You know, I'll let you guys off a little bit, let you take a little break, then we'll come back tonight and do it again. All right, so you deal with these things, man. You just deal. I know my limitations. I know there's things in this life, man, just ain't for me. No, man, it just is not for me, because I have made my choice. I have seen this, guys. I've seen this heavenly. This is what I want. And you know what? I thought I wanted it when I was back here, but I didn't know what this was, because I had been taught by this man right here, this carnal man, this religious man, the spirit of a man, the beast man. I had been taught what God was according to the flesh. And I wanted that with all my heart. I really did. I wanted it. I wanted to be an apostle in this life. I wanted to be a prophet in this life. I wanted to be a gift opera. I wanted to be all of that. And dude, I got halfway there. I got a little bit there anyway. And I was able to do a few things, you know, little bit of mirror magic. You don't know. You don't know. You think you're being sincere. And honestly, I thought I was being sincere. I was not one of those guys called that put a microphone in my ear. That wasn't me. I didn't, man, I thought that's shameful. False prophet. False man. That wasn't no false prophet. That was just a lying, conniving guy in this life. You know what the false prophet was? That beast man in me. That's the false prophet, bro. That's the one that wants to lead you astray. You read Deuteronomy lately? The aspects of your soul, those things that they say to you. Let's read it. Where is it? Deuteronomy 13? Find it for me real quick. We okay? We good on time?
No, keep going.
Well, I mean, we are going to stop PK at some point. Because I'm 50 years old now, bro. I can't preach for 3 hours anymore, man. I just can't do it. Huh? Where's the part? Let me see this, bro. Okay, here we go. Talks about how God redeemed the people of Egypt right out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. Oh, I'm sorry. He's talking about let me go back. He's talking about the prophet and the dreamer of dreams in verse 5. In verse 4, he's saying, you shall walk after the Lord and fear him. So which fear is this? That's this fear, right? Brian just taught on this. I'm not trying to reteach Brian's message, but this is what Brian just taught on, the fear of the Lord. Did you guys hear that? Good stuff. Okay? The fear of the Lord. And he just walked you right down the line to find those different fears. So you'll walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments, obey his voice. You'll serve him and cleave unto him. What have I told you? Stay close. Stay close, man. Stay close to God, bro. You say, yeah, but when I go hang out with you at the restaurant, I'm hanging out with you. Oh, yeah. You hanging out with my avatar. But that ain't what's talking to you. I get it. You hear my voice, right? You hear my voice talking. But what's really talking to you, that's what you got to discern. Because you got to get past this flesh to get to that angel. And see, what you guys haven't understood yet is angels can talk to you even from physical avatars here in this life. From the mind of it. From the imagination of it. This mind right here can talk through avatars here. Because the avatar that's talking to you is talking to you from this mind. Does that make sense? Then that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, what did I talk to you guys about the first night? All those dreams? All those dreams, man. My God, I was a dreaming machine. My sister even dreamed more than I did. A dreaming machine. And I'm talking about intense dreams, man. Not. I didn't have all those real lucid, really out there dreams, but I had some intense dreams. And that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. What is this death we're talking about? Is that the carnal mind? So if we discern it to be of the carnal mind, have we put it to death? If it's separated and discerned in you to be death in you, in other words, if you come to a conclusion, wait, you mean you can come to a conclusion of the matter? Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. And you can be settled in your heart that this joker right here, this beast man, look, I'm going to put all this, he's got this, you know, he's a beast man. He's, you know, put all full of hair. And where's his claws? I'll put his claws out here. That ain't the Wolverine either. I know the Avengers is coming. Don't worry about it. They're only going to try to save the physical world in a fantasy world. You got to have God to save the world that he set in your heart. I'm almost done. He shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you. You hearing that? He has spoken to turn you. Turn you from what? Man, I'm telling. What was the scripture we just read before this? Cleave. Cleave to the Lord. This false prophet in you speaks to you to turn you from that. He wants to turn you, bro. Is this what happened to that first angel we talked about this morning? Is that what happened in Ephesus? Did he leave his first love? Why? Did something turn him? Something turned him, bro. Something got his attention. You know all those dreams that I dreamed when I was a kid? You know what the intent was? It was trying to turn me. It wanted to keep my attention on something other than God, the story of God, that I could find out what God did from the beginning to the end. It was sent with intent to keep me from that. And it kept me in the mind of no man. It kept me in the mind, Kenny, of judging things according to the flesh. Man, I'm preaching some spiritual things to you right now. Things that'll set you free. Difference being made free, set free. Someone could make you free, but when you've been set free, you are free indeed. I used to tell the example about the slaves. When Abraham Lincoln wrote the Proclamation of Emancipation, he made them free. He set them. He didn't just release them for a time. They were made free, delivered. It was now against the law to have slaves. Does that make sense? Now, if you showed up to a slave in a field and you released his chain and sent him running, was he free? I mean, I get it. Technically, he should have never been put in slavery in the first place. I get all that. We're not going to get into all that. But what I'm saying is, was he free according to the time? No, he was a slave on the run, and they kill him. When Abraham Lincoln wrote that bill, he was made free. Maybe that's just a, you know, goofy carnal example, and I get it. But the point of the matter is, God, he sets you free, and you are free indeed. You don't have to be on the run from Satan anymore. Does that make sense? In other words, you think you guys get a little quickening sometimes, and you go, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it. Then 3 days later, you're in the depths of condemnation. Are you free? You're not free at all, are you? You've not been set free at all. Man, I'm telling you right now, God wants to make you free. And you be free forever. All right. I said we're wrapping up. But listen to this. Let's skip down here. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord commanded you to walk in, so shall you put this evil away from the midst of you. Therefore, if a brother, the son of thy mother, the son of thy daughter, or the wife, thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice you secretly. Where would it entice you? Secretly in the midst within you. This happens within you. It entices you within you. How would it do that? Give you a dream. Give you an image. Cause you to follow it thinking it's God. Oh boy, what's it done to you then? It's turned you. It's drew you away, didn't it? That third that fell from heaven, what drew them? The tail of the dragon. The true prophet of God is the head. The false prophet is the tail. Who's the head of the body? Jesus Christ. Who's that tail? That false prophet, that man of sin, that liar, that dragon, that beast? That old serpent, the devil, is he that tail? Did he draw them away? What did he do? He drew them, he turned them away from their father, away from the face of their father. And he caught their attention. And you guys think getting distracted by some little physical thing down here is what's done it. You have really missed the mark, man. This right here is what did it. This beast is what turned you. Even in that heaven, it turned you. Remember I told you in that angel was light and darkness? So now you go into dreams and you start seeing images. You told me a dream the other night. You had images there of a son, of family, of ones you know. Is that dream about those out here in this physical realm? Or is God dealing with aspects of your soul, bro? He's dealing with aspects of your soul. Does that make sense? And so you've got to pay attention in God to let God teach you and define for you what those things are. And if you don't know what they are, then what do? You wait. You wait on God. And you wait on the counsel of the Lord to define and lay that thing out. And guess what happens? After years and years and years, there's no interpretation come. There's no understanding come. You might want to move on. Because that thing has turned you already long enough, has it not? Do you see how long those dreams turn me? I could not come into this eternal. I could not come into this thing which is within me because I was too focused on that which is without. All right. The mind of Christ is what we need. And maybe tonight we'll see what God does, but we'll get into some of that maybe. We'll see what the Lord does. But I'm telling you right now, the will of God is to discern this mind of that carnal, that terrestrial, that beast man. That's the mind God wants to discern. And what's the point? What's the purpose, Jacob? Just to show it to you, to bring you into condemnation? To overcome it, bro. And at the end of every one of those seven churches, what did he say? He that overcomes, he that overcometh, what will he do? Man, he was giving them the tree of life. He was giving them a new stone, a white stone with a new name in it. Whew. My God, man. That's awesome. And then when God gets done, this is, don't let this scare you. But you all know you're going to die one day, right? When this goes away, what is left? Let me ask you this. What if you haven't come into this? Where are you? You're in this and don't even know it. And you'll return to this. But what about this? What if when you die, you have obtained, before you died, you obtained to this? And in this lifetime, God taught you how to go in and out of this, in and out of this, from heaven to this earth and regenerate, save, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you've got an angel here, what do you got here? No, you don't. You got no angel here. You got the apostle. There you go. But it's the mind of the angel. And so what is this? What happens to this beast man? Come on, what happens to him? He is regenerated to the apostle. Man, is that Saul to Paul? Did I have that burly, hairy, claw guy up here? Was that Saul persecuting the church? But one visitation, bro. One visitation from God, what did he become? Greatest apostle that lived, man. My God, that's awesome. And he preaches in this realm right here, in this earth, he preaches his angel's gospel. Does that make sense? Man, I'm telling you, this thing is real. So, get this. Now, when this body dies, what is left? What is left? Don't be afraid to say it, guys. Eternity as the Son of God, as the angel of the Lord. And even if but for a time there's some that still remain here, he goes. And in essence, I'm only saying that this has been removed from this angel because he has redeemed it all. But in the children he produces, what would still be in them? That earthly, huh? And could he visit those? You mean even when I die, I could visit your world, Ernest, and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ? Come on now. You say, man, that's crazy. Y'all crazy. You keep thinking that. Because I got the Holy Ghost. All right, guys. That's it for Sunday morning.